Robert Kiyosaki, author of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, will tell you why the rich people don't buy mutual funds and what they do to build great wealth.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a true story based upon my two fathers, one my real dad, my biological dad, and the other one was my best friend's father. The poor dad was my real dad, who was a PhD in education, very smart man, graduated from university in less than 2 years, went to Stanford, University of Chicago, and he was ultimately the head of education for the state of Hawaii. And the reason I call him my poor dad was simply because he was a high-paid government official. He made a lot of money, but no matter how much money he made, he was always broke about the 20th day into a 30-day month. So the reason I call him poor was that no matter how much money he made, he was still broke. My rich dad, on the other hand, was a man who didn't go to school. He dropped out of school at age 13 because his father died and he took over the family business. And so he ultimately became one of the wealthiest men in Hawaii. Most people don't know him because he was a very private individual. So starting from the age of 9, I was greatly influenced by both men. And the interesting thing was when it came to the subject of money, they both had very contradictory points of view on the subject of money. For instance, my poor dad always said our house is our greatest asset and it's our biggest investment. And my rich dad would say, man, if your house is not an asset, if you're financially illiterate, you'll understand it's not an asset. And if it's your biggest investment, you're in very big trouble. So for those who have not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I think it would be interesting for you to read. It's very simple. I learned to be a wealthy person starting from the age of 9, very simple diagrams and things like that. So what this tape is about the subject of investing. There is a difference between what the rich invest in versus the poor and the middle class. I'm going to tell you a story. I have a friend of mine here in Phoenix, Arizona, where I reside now, and he's a very bright young man. He's an attorney. He's making a lot of money. So he went to see his financial advisor, and his financial advisor advised him to, you know, buy mutual funds, diversify, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem with this young attorney was that his specialty is family law. And being in family law, what he spent occasionally, one of the not so good parts about his business or his profession is that he needs to divorce the very wealthy or the very rich in town. And the reason he came to talk to me, he says, here's my financial advisor telling me to buy mutual funds and et cetera, et cetera. And he says, when I divorce a very rich family or a couple, they don't have mutual funds in it. So I asked him, so what do you find inside their portfolios of the very rich? He says, I find two things in general. I find businesses and I find real estate. I said, that's true. What the rich generally do is and the way they get rich is because they invest in businesses and real estate. And he says, so they don't buy mutual funds? I said, they may or may not, but it's not the way they get rich. In other words, you don't get rich by buying mutual funds. So what this tape is about is to clear up some of the differences between what the rich invest in and the poor and middle class do. And rather than have me yak at you all day long, one of the secrets of my success as an investor and as a business owner is that I don't have to be that smart. I mean, a lot of people are afraid, you know, I didn't go to school or I didn't get good grades or I'm not that smart. Well, I'm not either. I didn't get good grades. But one of my secrets of success or the hot tip is to have work with people smarter than me. I'm very pleased today to have my advisors in this room with me because they can probably give much more detail about these subjects than I can. So one of them is Diane Kennedy, who is my strategic CPA. She's a member of Mensa, which means she's a genius. She has a master's in taxation, and so she's far beyond just a CPA. The other one is Kim Butler, who is a financial planner who guides me through the mazes of taxes and protection and et cetera, which the rich do. So I'm very happy to introduce my two advisors. And so, Diane, would you mind introducing yourself first, give a little bit of your background, and then Kim?
As Robert said, my name is Diane Kennedy, and I have offices both in Phoenix, Arizona, and Reno, Nevada. I specialize in business owners that have multi-corporations. We work together in putting together comprehensive tax planning for the high-income, high-wealth individuals. All of my clients, then, are wealthy individuals, business owners who invest in real estate and are interested in their future growth.
Thank you. And Kim?
Hello, I'm Kim Butler, and I am a certified financial planner. My background is banking. I was trained at a commercial bank and did a lot of commercial lending. And as I was going through that process, realized that the real wealth in our country is in the entrepreneurial fields and often connected with real estate as well. And as I delved into the financial planning arena and was trained through the insurance companies and the mutual funds, I began to see the differences in what the rich do versus what the poor do. And that's what we'll have some fun talking about today.
Good. So as a person who's made quite a bit of money as an investor, I'm often asked by people, they say, I have some extra money. What would you recommend I invest in? Or my broker said I should buy XYZ stock. What do I think? Or my friend recommended this mutual fund. Would you buy that? Or what are you investing in? And the problem with those questions, and oftentimes I appear vague and evasive, the reason is because for me, the subject of investing is not something I just say a yes or no to, or that's good or that's bad, because to me, investing requires to be a professional investor and to be wealthy as an investor requires a little bit more sophistication than just saying, you know, I buy the dips, or I dollar cost average, or I diversify, or the PE is doing this, or the Dow is doing that. That's not sophisticated. I mean, I need more information to do that. The points this tape will focus on are very simple. Number one point is what the rich focus on as investing as compared to the poor and middle class. And I'm not here to make the poor and middle class right or wrong or the rich right or wrong. I'm just doing my best to point out some distinctions or some differences between the three different groups. Number two, there's this fallacy out there that people think investing is risky. Investing by itself is not risky. Speculation is, which is saying that I think the price of the stock's going to go up or the stock's going to go down, I'm going to short it. That's speculation. What my rich dad taught me about investing is not about risk. Investing is about fundamentally doing the right thing so that there's a guaranteed result at the other end. As in the movie Wall Street, I'm not recommending this guy, but as Gordon Gekko, nefarious character in the movie, said, he says, I don't throw darts when I pick a stock. He says, I bet on sure things. And that's what the rich do. And he did it illegal. I'm not recommending that. But I only bet on sure things. So that I'm saying that investing is not risky. And number three, the biggest message I want to say out there is that you don't have to be that smart. It's fairly easy, and it's just fundamental. And the reason I don't have to be smart is because I surround myself with smart people. One of the biggest mistakes I think people make is they think they have to know all the answers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the information age, and information is doubling every year now. It is impossible for anybody to have all the answers, and so one of your greatest assets an individual can have is high-qualified friends and very, you know, friends in smart places, not necessarily high places, who can advise you. So going over really quickly, this tape is about what the rich invest in versus the poor middle class. That is not supposed to be risky. Speculation is risky, but not investing. And number three is relatively easy. And what we're going to give you in this short tape is just a big picture on the whole subject. The other part about it is this, as a disclaimer, there are many ways to get rich. We're just going to share one way. If you're making $20 million a year as a movie star, you don't need this tape. If you want to find out how to get rich as an investor, we have some ideas for you. Number two, this is an educational tape. This is not an advisory tape. In other words, we strongly advise people, as I'm already saying, to get strong, competent financial advice as possible because everybody's situation is different. So this is educational, not advisory. Don't go out and say, I told you to buy real estate or build a business. I'm not telling anybody anything. I'm just giving you some education on the subject. And number three, this tape will work regardless of which country you live in. I oftentimes hear people say, oh, that's for the U.S. only, or that works in the U.S. And what they do at that point is they discount what I'm trying to say. For those that know me, they know I travel throughout the world. And while some of the laws may be different in their details, ultimately, as I travel the world, I find out the rich operate very similar in the same way, which this tape will cover. So for those of you who live outside the U.S., please know the laws may be different, but the principles remain the same. When it comes to advisors, I want to say this much, the same thing. There's advisors for the rich, there's advisors for the poor, and there's advisors for the middle class. What would you like to say about that?
Well, I think it's so important that people ask the specialty of the advisor prior to doing any other kind of discussion. I mean, Diane, if somebody came to you and told you about their situation and then said what your specialty is, Don't you think that's a little backwards?
Absolutely, Kim. In fact, I've had clients call me and say, I have $50,000 and I want to get rich. That was an actual phone call. That's pretty hard to advise someone when they have a very vague idea. I think the fundamental thing is, first, a person has to know what direction they are going, what is right for them. They have to understand their own situation and then decide what kind of an advisor they need. We talk a lot about what is the right investment for a person, but really only a person is going to know what the right investment is for them.
It's the idea of having the long-term goal or perspective or vision in place first, and then asking or seeking out the advisor that's going to have the specialty that will take you on the road to get there.
So what we're going into right away is actually, is a lot of people focus on the product versus the strategy. And what we're going to say to you right now is that to be successful is not whether it's a mutual fund or a bond or a stock or real estate or whatever, or Beanie Babies or Barbie dolls. It's the strategy. And what most people focus on is the product. You know, should I buy a mutual fund versus, well, what's your strategy? And the thing that we were talking about here is this, and it's one of my personal bugaboos, and Kim Butler said it very accurately the other day. She says, most people are planning to be poor. Would you say that's true?
Yes, I do. When you take a look at the strategies that people are using, and I'll reemphasize that part, it is a goal to be poor. And is planning to be poor what you want to be doing?
And people are doing it unconsciously, and they don't even know they're doing it. And I'll give you an example. When somebody says, I have a superannuation or a 401k or an IRA and all this, and I'm putting money, a 401k, they're actually saving money. They're not really investing. And they'll often say this line. They say, I can pull it out when my income is lower. In other words, that's a very middle class ideal, is that, you know, let's say retire at 65. When I'm 65, I'm going to be poor. That's what they're saying. So my income will be lower at 65. So they're unconsciously, subliminally programming to be poor. The rich have a different problem. By the time they're 65, they have too much money and they have so much income that this little puny 401k or superannuation or Central Provident Fund in Singapore and all this, it's a problem because they can't pull that money out tax-free. And so what most people are doing via the advisors, you know, the magazines, the television shows and all this, most of the advisors are catering strictly to the middle class and the upper middle class wage earner employee types. But the rich cannot think that way. Would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. When you take a look at the strategies that are written about in the magazines, that are talked about on the newspapers.
And on the radio.
You're right. Everywhere. You have to go to the author of that article and consider the source. And oftentimes, you have to ask yourself, is someone that's making 40 grand living in New York City even
writing
investing?
Writing for a newspaper.
Right. Even investing money themselves. And it's just like we talked about earlier, the long-term vision of what you want to have happen is where you need to keep your focus and not be taking advice from people that may have a different vision. In fact, one that you don't even know about because you don't know the person. In addition, when you think about the strategies that are most often suggested, you have to take a look at the strategy, not the product. And just like the rich do things differently in their lives that we see, they're doing things differently in their lives that we don't see. In their financial life, they buy insurance differently. They buy mutual funds differently. It's not the product. It's the strategy that they use behind it.
And for me, I see the tax planning is so much different. For example, in the United States, one of the divisions this year has stated that within 5 years, 10 million Americans won't be filing tax returns anymore. They're going to automatically assess taxes, such as we see in European countries. That's very significant for evidence of what's happening in our technological age.
I want to say something about taxes. Is most people think of taxes as only income tax. In other words, you know, they say we work until July for the government. Well, it's actually worse than that, because the real reality on taxes is we're taxed when we earn, we're taxed when we spend, we tax when we saved, we tax when we invest, we tax when we lose money, we tax when we win money, and we're also taxed when we die. So taxes for most people are the number one expense. So part of the strategy, and this is where Kim comes in, and one of the things my rich dad taught me was the importance of insurance. because insurance is a way of minimizing or sheltering ourselves or protecting ourselves from the ravages of the government. For those who listened to my first tape with Diane Kennedy, in America, if you're an employee or you're self-employed, it's very tough to protect yourself from the government because the government is taking their money before you even get paid. Is that correct, Diane?
Absolutely. We talked also about the newly self-employed person. A lot of people think, I can get out of this by quitting my job and starting my own business.
Yeah, home-based business, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, and they're really self-employed.
Absolutely. What they've done is they've bought themselves a job or created a job for themselves. They just work for somebody different themselves.
And that's largely because of the structure that they've set up, right? The lack of a corporation,
plus a plan and plus a vision and plus knowing the difference between a small business owner and a guy like Bill Gates.
Right.
And what most people become are self-employed small business owners. And I mean this with great respect. I feel sorry for them because it is the hardest position to operate out of. If you're successful, you have to be S. You know, self-employed also stands for super person because for my first year in my own business, I spent 3 days out of the five fending off the government in so many rules and regulations. And that's what happens to a person that says, since there's no job security, I'm going to start my own business. And they go from employee to self-employed. That's why I wrote this book, Cash Flow Quadrant, which is the book right after Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's part two of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's about the difference between a self-employed person and a business owner. And there's very big differences mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. So what we're saying here is that first of all, is your strategy as to what do you want to become as your years go on. And unfortunately, most people in the middle class are already subconsciously programming themselves to be poor at age 65. We're quite shocked at thinking about, you know, most people, they have kids. Let's say they have four children, and they struggle financially to have
private schools
and the new house and the cars and the soccer and et cetera, et cetera. And they say, oh, life will be good when the kids are finally out of school. And so finally, 30 years later, all the kids are out of school. And what's happening, you're saying, for many people in America today, they have four new kids moving in. And it could be their mom and dad on the wife's side and mom and dad on the husband's side. And so that's what's happening. Is that true?
It's very true. I see it in my client base a lot. It's called reverse parenting. Your parents come in to live with you, and that vision is missing, that dream, that goal of where you want to be.
Right.
But isn't it true that most of the people have been set up for that? They've been told, get a job or else start your own job and buy a big house and invest in a pension fund.
Buy mutual funds.
Exactly. And they're not building assets that are going to create other income streams.
And shelter from taxes.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're paying a large tax load. A self-employed person pays the highest percentage in taxes because they're paying additional taxes. But the key is that they have set up a plan to be poor.
Right.
Just like their parents did. So they all get to live together.
Which brings up a point is, let's say we go forward to the year 2010. How optimistic are you that there will be such things as Social Security and Medicare, and in the countries throughout the world where I go to, can the government afford to take care of the millions and millions of people who are planning to be poor?
I think the issue of any kind of structured deal, and that's what it's looked at, is a government deal, is about the worst thing that you can rely on because it has...
That's planning to be poor.
That's right.
Really
poor. It has an entitlement attitude of, well, someone else is going to take care of me.
Looking internationally at the demographics, I'm a numbers person. I love to look at these. The baby boomer generation is international. All countries have experienced that. And as this group moves up and gets older, that means there's less people to pay for them. It's the numbers don't work.
Today, it's for every retiree, there's three people paying for them. And in a few years, it's going to be a one-to-one ratio.
Right.
So not only will you be supporting your mom and dad, you'll be supporting everybody else's moms and dads out there. And that's what we say. If your intention is your company or the government's going to take care of you, that's really planning to be poor. And what most of the middle class are planning to do is they plan to be on lower income status at age 65. So what this audio tape is about, and I'm not making either one right or wrong because it's a free country, you can make your choices on it. I already made my choice how to plan or how to come up with a strategy to be rich, and that's what this tape is about. And so, Diane, also there's a fallacy in the what I call the middle class dream is get a safe, secure job, buy a big house, and then, you know, invest in mutual funds. And that's okay for most people, but there is a hidden flaw in that thinking. in the tax code, isn't that correct? Because you make more money, you buy a bigger house, and everybody says, well, I get a tax write-off for a bigger house. There's a flaw in that thinking, isn't that correct? Well,
that's a predominant thinking in the U.S. because we have a home mortgage deduction. And